My dear friends, I'm visiting, as you know, for the men's retreat. During this Lent, I have been trying to do a series of sermons on the Passion of our Lord. Lent is very convenient in that way. It has 5 weeks before Palm Sunday, and that allows you in each week to meditate on one of the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary. This week, then, Passion Week, would be the fifth, and we are to meditate on the crucifixion of our Lord. But my dear friends, before we do, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to enter into this sanctuary that St. Paul described in his epistle. For although it is gruesome, it is difficult at first, it is indeed terrible to behold, it is also the most beautiful thing we will ever see. The one that brings salvation. The reason for eternal happiness for billions of souls and angels. On the one side, you see the evil, yes, that belongs to us. But on the other side, you see the infinite goodness and mercy, and that belongs to God, but is given to us. Recently, I was talking with a religious soul who has been a Catholic all her life, and this person told me, "I don't understand. When I see our Lord on the cross and all that he suffered, and then they speak to me of a merciful God, of a compassionate God, I just don't understand. Why do all that? Why make him go through that? He could have saved us doing anything with a little thing." If God is so compassionate, so merciful, this person asked, why go through that? And my answer was to tell this all, well, first thing that a priest always does, the answer to that is in the catechism. It's in the Catechism of St. Pius X. Why go through that? To show us how much he loved us. But I still saw doubt in this person's face. And so I told her, okay, imagine that you have people that you love deeply, your children, for example, the children in your classroom, your children in your family, wherever. And imagine that our Lord comes and says to you, you have one day to show them how much you love them. That's all you have. You won't have days before or after. Just one day to show them how much you love them. What would you do? You know that you would exert yourself in every single way to show them your love. Well, our Lord had this one day to show humanity how much God loved them, how much he loved them. Does that make sense now? Do you understand why he did what he did? You see, my dear friends, then, why the crucifixion is so sweet for us, so beautiful for us. Put yourselves then there at the moment of Calvary and see our Lord arriving to it. Everything about him speaks of an exhaustion of love. His legs, his feet are trembling from walking to Calvary. His arms are exhausted and loose of embracing the cross. Everywhere in his body there are wounds. Wounds as many times as he has pardoned us. Scars as large as the sins they cleanse in our souls. His head is crowned with thorns, as the groom was crowned with laurels and pine branches when he approached his wedding. And his face is emaciated. It has disappeared under the mark of his blood and bruises. His cheeks are shattered, his jaw beaten, his beard ripped off. The Virgin Mary stands at a distance with Mary Magdalene, John, and other pious women. They cannot come close. The soldiers will not let them as the crucifixion is taking place. And when our Blessed Mother sees Jesus stripped of his garments without compassion, when she sees him falling to the ground harmless, meek, she cannot but remember that Paschal lamb that Moses had commanded them to eat each year on this day. They would take the lamb and skin it off, leaving out only the living flesh, and then stretch him over a stick tied up on the form of a cross. Opening the front legs of the lamb, tying them to the sticks in such a way that his chest would be opened opened all the way to his heart. The Virgin Mary sees this scene of our Lord, and now it all makes sense. 2 millennia of Hebrew history is fulfilling before her eyes. But you, right now, you, before we continue, close the eyes of your soul and see this scene. Hear the cries of the crowd, the insults here and there, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, leading the crowd in the jeers and mockery. Listen to the Roman soldiers shouting, appeasing them. Feel the cold wind, the blowing sand and dust at the top of the hill. See with your eyes how the sun seems to be dimming, and a strange darkness, one you could almost touch, starts covering the land. But none of that matters, for what takes place with our Lord takes all your attention. When Jesus is stripped of his garments, the violence makes him fall to the ground. As the soldiers begin crucifying the thieves, you see them fight back, kick back, trying to escape. It takes several soldiers to hold them down for the grueling process. But this one prisoner, your Lord and Savior, as he sees them prepare the cross, as he sees the cross lay on the ground, he doesn't run. With the little strength that he has, he crawls back on his fours to get there. The soldiers mocking him put back on his brow the crown of thorns that fell off. And Jesus, reaching the cross, as a king that sits on his throne, lays himself on it, puts his hands on the arms of it, lays his feet on its base. Why? Because in his heart, for him, this was the glory, the will of his Father. He knew that we ourselves had climbed the tree many thousand million years ago in Adam, and we disobeyed God. He knew that the only way to rescue us was for him to climb this one tree. He knew that the cross was the price of our salvation. And this, in the same way that he embraced it, upon receiving it, he embraced it now when, as men speak, push come to shove, when it was time to put it into action. And the Virgin Mary watches what is to come. Ah, my dear friends, there is no way, you know it, there is no way to understand the pain, the anguish of the Virgin Mary, the helplessness. Have you ever felt this kind of pain and anguish, where you're so numbed you can't speak, where you're so sad, so distressed you can't walk, where you are so exhausted you can't even cry? Take that human anguish, the worst you have felt, multiply it to the hundreds of thousands. For our Blessed Mother is not just the pain of watching her son crucified. It is the pain of watching her God trampled by his creatures. See now the hands of our Lord trembling already, being pushed against the arm of the cross. A soldier kneels on the forearm to hold them in place. Others tie the wrists to the wood to hold them tight. Hear, O soul, the blow of the hammer upon the nail, and try to imagine all the nerves of the body of our Lord contract, enter into shock. Imagine all his members, all his limbs contract at the terrible pain, his jaw locked, his eyes shut, or perhaps looking up to heaven in a supplication to the Father. Imagine the moment when the soldiers take those trembling knees, one of the soldiers perhaps sitting on his legs to hold them, another tying them up, and the feet already convulsing from the pain. The soldiers put them together, and it takes them several attempts to finally make the nail go through both. The bones in the limbs of our Lord are open and dislocated. Blood starts pouring from the wounds as from a spring, and the heart of Mary becomes crucified as well. She is bound to watch. She is also nailed to the crucifixion, unable to move, unable to defend her son. She's just as nailed to the cross as he is, but only in spirit. And as you see, my friends, as you will see it today in Mass, as you see the cross, this ominous instrument of torture being raised with the Lamb, all in open wounds, all in the living flesh nailed to it, being raised before your eyes, hear the words of the Father, or rather the words of the Son who told us of the Father. Not the seven words yet, those you will have two Fridays from now, but the words of the Father, this motto, this explanation to the question that was posed to me. God so loved the world that he delivered his Son for the salvation of the world. Look in the eyes of your soul. Look at the man who has loved you the most, who has and will love you like no one ever has. Men, this God-man on the cross loves you to extensions your wives will never do. Wives, this man loves you with a permanence and intensity your husband will never reach. Teens, youth, the love you have craved throughout your life, eternal love, extreme love, unbounded love, unrestrained love, is here to be found. Religious soul, sister, brother, priest, nothing you do will ever match this level of surrendering, of giving, of love until the ultimate sacrifice. Listen to that word of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost that inspired and moved Christ to this extreme. God so loved the world. Look at the body of the Messiah, of your Jesus. No rest for him. He's asphyxiating. The cross does that. If he elevates himself for air, the nail digs into his bones and marrow, into his veins and nerves. If he descends to alleviate the pain, the body resists, asphyxia returns. His arms are shaking, constantly moving the wound of the nails in his hands. Opening more and more, aggravating the wound, the nerves shoot all throughout the body and cause him horrible strain everywhere. God so loved the world that he delivered his Son. But if we could read in the heart of our Lord, if we could read between the lines of his seven words, what do you see, Christian soul? What is he saying with those nailed hands, with those crushed feet, with his scars, with his scourges, with his thorns? What is he telling you? He says, our Lord, O Christian soul, behold me here, placed up on high to be seen by all. See me, you, yes, you that suffer, you the poor, you the mistreated, you the abandoned, you the sick. Your soul has been searching for happiness and for true love. You have sought everywhere for someone that would not let you down and would not mistreat you, someone who wouldn't turn his back on you. And you abandoned me. You searched in the world, in human friendships, in creatures, in sin. Ah, poor soul, looking for living waters, but looking in the mud, in the sand, in the filth. And yet, our Lord says to you, here I am. I have bound my hands by nails that no matter what, you always find me with my arms open to receive you. I have nailed my feet that you know that I will never run away from you. You said God doesn't know what it's like to be sad, so I was sad to death in the garden. You said God doesn't know what it's like to be betrayed, so I was betrayed by a kiss of my disciple. You said God doesn't know what it's like to be judged and condemned all the time. So by four tribunals, the Sanhedrin, Pilate, Herod, and the people, I was judged and condemned unjustly. You said God doesn't know what infirmity, what sickness, what pain is. So I submitted my body to be torn by shreds, and I was turned into a dying man in the scourging. You said God doesn't know what it's like to be humbled, despised, spit upon, derided. So I was crowned with thorns and beaten and spit upon. You said, God doesn't know what it's like to be a sinner, to be abandoned by God. And so I was abandoned by God, as a sinner would, although I could not sin. You said, God doesn't love me. Oh, dear soul, our Lord says, how else can I prove it? They say that our Lord wept when he was in agony, and perhaps this was the reason. But after our Lord was on the cross, and as he was dying, what else happened? I can speak for myself. I, a sinner, still not believing, still forgetting, I stood there as Jesus died. And as he uttered his final words, and then when his body collapsed, when the muscles relaxed and his head fell, I, the sinner, in the madness of sin, as the skies darkened, as thunder fell, I, unrepentant, I, pertinacious, I sinned again yet, and I took the lance, and before his own mother, I pierced him in the heart, saying still, you don't love me. And as the lamb, with the stroke of my sin, his heart opened and poured upon me, not lightning, not fire, not brimstone, nor stones. It poured upon me blood and water. And even when the lips of our Lord went silent, even when his soul departed his body, even when he was dead, with the last drops of his blood, he said to me, even after my last sin, once yet again, I so loved the world, I so loved you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.